Hello, how are you? Good to talk to you guys. Did you have a good weekend? Hey, it was a long one. If you were like me, you probably had your fill of sports over the weekend. There was quite a bit going on. NASCAR, hockey playoffs, the NHL playoffs. Carolina Hurricanes, man. Ooh, man, double overtime game over the weekend on Saturday. NBA playoffs, MLB action, high school sports. Am I missing anything? Charlotte FC, golf. I mean, what were you watching? What did you have your eyes on? We need to start a thing Monday where you guys call in and tell me what you watched over the weekend that maybe I didn't watch over the weekend. Because I only have one set of eyeballs. I can't watch every sport that's on 24/7. Now I try. I have my TV's up. I got my laptop. I got my phone. And there's three different things going on. I don't know how I pay attention to any of it, to be honest with you. So tell me, what did you watch this weekend? What did you have your eyes on? Did you go anywhere? Were you like me? And did you go to the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals over at the ZMAX Dragway this weekend? Oh, man. I got a little bit of... You know what? We're going to start with that today. Because I was at the 4-Wide Nationals at the ZMAX Dragway on Sunday. I was able to be there, walk around in the pits and everything. It was fun. I got to tell you, though, I've never been to a drag race. I've seen it on TV. I've watched them. I've kept up with it, so I know some of the things that you're going to want to keep an eye on, some of the people to keep an eye on. But I was just not prepared for the very first run of the Top Fuel cars when they, all four of them, hit the gas at the same time. I hate to admit this to you, but I jumped. I did. I jumped. I went, huh. I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready, but I wasn't. I've never felt something shake me like that before. And I've been to, plenty of NASCAR races. Nothing like what I saw on Sunday at the ZMAX Dragway. It was awesome. And there's so much access to things there. Like, you could go down into, I guess it's like the, I forget what they called it. There was a big sign there that said, "Welcome to this area." I just saw it off in the distance. But there's like all your souvenirs and the food's all there. And then you keep walking and you find all of the cars and the crews out there working on the cars out in the open. Nothing like NASCAR where you need to pay a little extra to see that stuff. And you don't even get to, be in close with them. But man, at the drag track, right there. I was watching them taking an engine apart. I watched them fire up Tony Stewart's car. I wasn't ready for that either. I was walking around and I think it was like three haulers over. All of a sudden I just hear the engine fire and I was like, oh, it's go time. Maybe I should get some ear protection on. I did bring ear protection. Okay. There were people there that didn't have anything on. How do you do that? How do you go to one of those events and not wear ear protection? It's not cool. Let me break it to you. It's not cool. It's not smart. That's what it is. I like to hear from you guys. So call me up, 844-788-3464. Let me know what you guys had going on this weekend. I want to know what you were watching, what you had your eye on, because I had my eye on quite a bit. I also got to listen on WSIC to the Dover race on Sunday as I was driving back from the drag track. So that was pretty fun to turn on the radio and hear PRN broadcasting from Dover. And I watched most of the second half of that race. So it was a good race. Also over the weekend, like I said, NHL playoffs going on. The Carolina Hurricanes suffered their first loss of the playoffs on Saturday. It was a double overtime game. And then on Sunday, which is last night, the New York Rangers completed their sweep of the Washington Capitals. So, tomorrow night, this is how it shakes down. Very quick and easy. Tomorrow night, Carolina wins. They're going to go play the New York Rangers, the number one team in the NHL this year. If they lose, then they just go down 3-2 in the series, and game 6 will be back in New York, and we'll try to win then. If they lose again, I might start sweating a little bit because that's game seven. Now, the good news is game seven is here in North Carolina this year against the Islanders, if we get there. And then if you lose that one, well, it's the season over and you're one of the first teams. You're one of the very few teams, not the first, but one of the very few teams in the NHL to blow a 3-0 series lead. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to wish that into existence. We want Carolina taking care of business tomorrow. That way we can start previewing their series against the New York Rangers. Charlotte FC was in action this weekend as well. And oh boy, I want you to stop me if you've heard this one before. Charlotte gets out to a lead. They allow the equalizer. The game goes on. And then in the 90th plus whatever minute, Charlotte FC gives up the game-winning goal. And that happens time and time and time again. We talked about it at the end of the year last year. They just couldn't do anything. And I don't get it. I don't know how they go through an entire game and you don't play whistle to whistle. I get it. You're tired. But when it's consistent that you're losing these games in the final seconds, there's a problem. And it must not be the head coach, because we have a new head coach and it's same story, different year. I don't know what's going on with Charlotte FC, but they lost another game to NYCFC last night. The other night. That wasn't last night. 2-1 was the final score in that one. Charlotte scoring in the third minute, the equalizer in the 41st minute, and then 90 plus 3. NYCFC puts in the game winner. And the rest was history. For a Charlotte FC now, in the MLS standings, it's not looking good. They have just 11 points, which is about 1.1 points per game as we are 10 games in here. 3 wins, 5 losses, 2 draws. It's not good. It isn't. But then you look at the home and away split. Charlotte FC has yet to win a game on the road. They are 0-4-0 this year on the road. Whereas here at Charlotte in Bank of America Stadium, 3 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw. We got to get that road team, that road stuff a little bit better. When you're traveling, you still got to win. At least get a point for the draw. Because right now they're out of the playoffs. And if the season ended today, we love saying that. If the season ended today, Charlotte FC would be out. But as a certain someone here at WSIC loves to say, it's still early. It's still very early. You know, maybe they win 5 games in a row. I don't see it happening, but they might. We're going to head to our first break of the day here. Listen. Hot off the press, I have high school playoff brackets. We'll go over those when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We'll be back right after this.
More of sports director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Berg continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back. We're here. Segment number 2 on The Scoreboard. 844-788-3464 is the phone number. What is that? You hear those papers? I got playoff brackets. Yes. High school playoff brackets. Lacrosse. Tennis. I got them right here. It's time. So the first round for lacrosse will be starting tomorrow, in case you weren't aware. It looks like the first round for tennis is going to be taking place tomorrow as well, which is round number 1 in all of these brackets here. So we're going to start with lacrosse. We've been covering lacrosse. There are some really good lacrosse teams in this area, highly ranked, not only in the state of North Carolina, but also nationally. So let's go through this, starting with the 1, 2, and 3A men's lacrosse brackets. The number one seed in the West would be C.S. Davidson. They are taking on Eastern Guilford, who had a bye through the wild card round, is what I... It looks like a wild card round on the brackets. You know, they don't make these very legible. So I'm guessing this is wild card games. It says first round, but there's a very select few games because there's a lot of byes. Two, three. There's four games in the first round. Plenty more in the second round, I can promise you that. But anyways, the number one seed, C.S. Davidson. Lake Norman Charter, they are the number four seed. Pine Lake Prep, the six seed. North Davidson, the 11 seed. That is a game right there. Pine Lake taking on North Davidson. Hickory draws Lincoln Charter. That's a 7 versus a 10. By the way, Lake Norman Charter, the 4 seed, they'll be taking on Bradford Prep. It looks like in the West, at least, there is no first round. Every team that would be playing in the first round has a bye. However, in the West, we have a full first round, which is only 4 games, and then we got way more in the second round. There's 8 games in round 2, which makes me believe that round 1 would be considered a wild card. Anyway, that is the situation in the 1-2-3A men's lacrosse brackets. Some local schools, like I said, Lincoln Charter, Pine Lake, Lake Norman Charter, Christ the King I know is over here, C.S. Davidson. A lot of teams to look forward to having a good year here in the playoffs. When it comes to the women's bracket for the 1, 2, and 3A, all of these games are shown as second round games. Now, I'm getting this from the NCHSAA website, which again leads me to believe that the first round is a wild card and there's not any wild cards for the women's bracket. So we have 1 through 16 in the East and the West. Here in the West, Bishop McGuinness is the one seed. They have a bye into what is being called round number 3. I'll call it round 2 just for clarity reasons because it doesn't make any sense. The 2 seed, C.S. Davidson. So they draw a 1 seed in the men's and a 2 seed in the women's bracket. Pine Lake as a 6 seed. Like I said, they're a 6 seed as well in the men's bracket. North Lincoln in here. Lake Norman Charter had a good year as well. Hickory and North Davidson also playing each other. These games are in a few days, actually, not tonight. But this is round number 2 for the 1, 2, and 3A Women's Lacrosse Championships. Only the West, again, has byes like this. In the East, the entire round is filled up with a 1 playing a 16, 8 playing a 9. Basically, think of it as one quadrant of the NCAA tournament bracket. That's how these guys are, or girls, I should say. That's how the girls are numbered 1 through 16. It's like that in the men's, but we're not there yet. We got those play-in games, those pesky play-ins. As far as the 4A goes, there are, number one, there's a lot of byes. And number two, there are a lot of schools in the area, and actually just outside of our listening area here, down in Charlotte, that had really good years. So Charlotte Catholic drew the one seed for the West in the 4A Men's Lacrosse Championship. Huff High School is up here as a 7 seed. Lake Norman, who has been top 5 in the state basically since the start of the season, is the number 2 seed in the West. You also have Marvin Ridge, which is down in Charlotte, Myers Park, so a lot of good schools. Those are your second round teams. The 1 seed Charlotte Catholic got a bye all the way down to the 8 seed Myers Park. They get byes. Now we have round 1 starting tomorrow for the 4A, and all of these games are pretty much full. We'll start with some schools in our area. Mooresville The 11 seed is going to be taking on Asheville tomorrow. And a reminder, this is lacrosse that we're talking about right now. Audrey Kell, they're down in Charlotte, drew a 9 seed. You also have South Mech as an 18 seed. So a lot of schools in the area in the playoffs for lacrosse. As far as the 4A women's go, there are still a lot of schools in the area that are getting these playoff bids. Let's go down to one of the first round matchups. This is a 10 versus a 23 in the 4A women's lacrosse bracket. Lake Norman, the 10 seed, taking on number 23, Mooresville. That's a rivalry game right there. Mooresville and Lake Norman in a playoff game to get to the second round. Woo-hoo! That's going to be a good one. Huff High School, they drew the 6 seed, so they get a bye into round number 2. You also see South Mecklenburg, Weddington, T.C. Robertson, Charlotte Catholic, Marvin Ridge. Plenty of schools, not only right here in our listening area, but like I said, just outside of our area, down in, you know, mid-Charlotte, South Charlotte, that are making the playoffs, that are going to have a really good chance to get to the state championships. That is the lacrosse scene for you. A reminder, games will be beginning tomorrow. We're going to keep you updated on everything that goes on in the lacrosse playoffs. I also, in my hand, have the final bracket for men's team tennis. Yes, tennis. So we're going to go over this real quick because there are actually a few in the Western Conference here that are going on to play games in the playoffs. South Davidson, they are a 7 seed in the 1A men's tennis bracket. We also have Piedmont Community. They're in there. Christ the King, which we've talked about before. They drew the 16 seed, the final team to make it into the playoffs in the area. A few other schools that I recognize, Highland Tech, Thomas Jefferson, they might be just outside of our area, but they also draw bids in the playoffs as well. As far as 2A schools go, there are a lot of byes into the second round. Now, the tennis bracket is beginning tomorrow as well. So round one of tennis starts tomorrow as well as lacrosse. But in the 2A bracket, there's not as many schools in our area that are participating. There are a couple, and I want to make sure we get them out there. Pine Lake, my alma mater, you probably know it by now. They're the 3 seed in the 2024 2A men's tennis bracket. You have Lincoln Charter as a 13 seed. They'll be taking on Wheatmore, a 21 seed. East Davidson and East Surrey both making the cut. West Davidson is in here as well. And Community School of Davidson, a 15 seed here in the playoffs. Moving on to the 3A bracket, there's not as many byes in the 3A. It looks like round one pretty much got filled up, starting with the 1 seed, Hickory High School. Man, if there was an award given out for the school that had the best sports year in our area, I would give it to Hickory. They've been at the top of the charts in almost every single sport this year. From what I can remember, they made a run in basketball. The football year was great. The baseball team is doing okay. Could be better, but here's the tennis team, the 1 seed in the 3A bracket. North Davidson gets the 25 seed. Lake Norman Charter, number 5, they'll take on 24 Rockingham County. Concord is going to be an underdog, the number 20 seed playing West Henderson. That's a 4 seed. We also have Stuart W. Kramer as a 15. South Point High School is in here. East Lincoln. North Iredell, the 11 seed. They'll be taking on number 22 Crest. And East Rowan is in there as well. That is 3A tennis. Before we head to the break, let's let you know what's going on in the 4A men's tennis bracket. Providence High School is the 1 seed. They take on Mallard Creek. You have Lake Norman in there as an 8 seed. Huff High School and South Iredell will take each other on in round 1. Huff number 5, South Iredell number 24. Mooresville snuck in as a 30 seed, playing number 14, Page. And then you also have Myers Park in there, South Mech, Asheville, Hickory Ridge, West Forsyth, schools that we know that aren't really in our general area. Cox Mill out in Concord as well. So these are the schools in the 4A bracket. Huff High School, South Iredell, though. A couple of schools in our listening area will be taking each other on round number one. That is your high school scene for you, the playoff update version. We will cover it throughout the entire playoffs and let you know what's going on. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Scoreboard. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment. From 105.9, 100.7, WSIC. Now more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9, 100.7, WSIC.
And we're here, second half on this Monday. Boy, oh boy, this is going by fast. 844-788-3464. I want to hear from you guys. What did you have your eyes on this weekend? What sport were you paying attention to? I know where I had my eyes. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. Because we only got 30 minutes left. Not even. Like 25, 24 minutes now. 844-788-3464. That's 844-STUDIO-4. It gets you onto the show, part of the program. Let me know, what did you have your eye on this weekend? There was a lot. Now, when I got back from the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals, oh, by the way, in case you don't know, Justin Ashley won the Top Fuel. You have Matt Hagen, who won the Funny Car. Greg Anderson won the Pro Stock, and Pro Stock Motorcycle was Gage Herrera, his 13th career win there. I had fun, man. There's nothing like that first run where I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready. And then they go, and man, I jumped. I can't believe I jumped. I can't believe I'm telling you guys that I jumped. That's embarrassing. Anyway, another motorsport that was going on this week. Dover. Dover from the NASCAR Cup Series. Now, I have heard that people think that the Xfinity Series is better. They might be right. It seems like there's a little bit more racing that goes on in the Xfinity Series sometimes. And look, I'm not complaining, but you know, we're going to talk about what's wrong. And right now, what's wrong with NASCAR is the car. The car in NASCAR is not good. Here is, after Dover on Sunday, the second place finisher was Kyle Larson. Here's what he has to say about what he could have done different on those final few laps to get past your winner, Denny Hamlin.
Not in the last 10, but losing the lead on, you know, when I got to restart as a leader. I went late in the zone, and Martin was trying to time it behind me, and he hit me right when I wanted to go, and it just, like, screwed up, and I got a lot of wheel spin, and he was out, you know, able to kind of outrace me into one, and his car was really good on, you know, the short runs, and I could pace it and you'll get closer to him at the end of the runs, but it's just so easy to air block. Not that he was, you know, doing anything dirty or anything like that. It's so easy as the leader, especially a place like this, to just shut off the air on the guys behind you. And I knew when I got within 3 car lengths, he was gonna start, you know, moving around, and I just couldn't really do anything. I was trying all sorts of different angles and speeds and all that, and nothing could, you know, generate enough speed to get, you know, close enough, I guess, to do anything. So,
and that's the problem. That's the problem right there. You heard it right from Kyle Larson. It's the key word, air blocking. if you are the leader of the race at a place like Dover or even a mile and a half, you know, Charlotte, when we get to the All-Star, or not the All-Star, the Coke 600, you're probably going to see this. Air blocking. If the leader just gets in front of the car behind them in the corners, there's nothing the trailing car can do because the dirty air is so dirty in these cars, and these cars are so downforce reliant that they just can't race them. They can't keep their foot in it. They have to let off and find a different line where that guy in front of them is not running, and you can't chase the guy down. And you saw it in those final 10, 15 laps at Dover. Kyle Larson had the faster race car. He did. And Denny did a good job, like he said, on the restart, getting out in front and controlling the race. But Kyle Larson had the faster car. He was able to close from a second and a half back, I believe, in those final few laps. 10 to go, he was right there, 3/10, half second back. And that's when Denny started to air block. Now, this is different than normal blocking. Air blocking is something you do when the guy is still five car lengths behind you, where all you do is you know he's going to run high in 3 and 4. Hey, guess what? I'm going to run high in 3 and 4 this time. So are you, but the air that you're going to have on your car is going to be a lot worse than the air that I'm going to have on my car. And that's what we saw. And we see it time and time again. The air block, air blocking. You can't follow in these race cars. It's got to change. Something has to change. And I say it time and time again. The simplest fix, the absolute simplest thing that they could do is take away the downforce. Say, no, you know what? You got to use the brake. I'm sorry. I know it's a mile and a half track, but you got to use the brake. You don't have enough downforce. Slow down in the corners. Then they got to put the horsepower back in these things. I was watching clips from a half mile in 2019, and there was a lot more racing going on in that race than I've seen all year at a mile and a half this year, and a mile track. Because Dover, although it's only a mile, it races more like a mile and a half in terms of multi-groove track. You need clean air in the corners to do anything, and, well, you know, the outside works. All things that you see at mile and a half tracks, usually, unless it's Texas. And then it stinks. But we're going to continue to see this until we get to the next generation of NASCAR race cars. And I'm not sure when that's going to be. But I'm concerned that NASCAR is going to just continue to go down the path that they're going down, which is taking horsepower away and adding downforce. It doesn't make for good racing. It doesn't. And I think I might, you know, last week we talked about Talladega. I think I might not be in the minority anymore because I saw a lot of comments on reporters' social feeds like X, people in the comments saying, man, this race was just as bad as Talladega. For a different reason, yeah, they're right. It was just as bad. Drafting at 170 miles an hour at Talladega. That's bad. Inability to pass a guy that you're just, even get to the guy that you're faster than. You can't even get close enough to give them a bumper in these race cars, unless it's a short track, or unless you're that much faster than them. And this is the product we have in NASCAR now. How long do we have to deal with it? I wish I had the answer, and I wish I could tell you it wasn't going to be long. But knowing what NASCAR does, this could be a problem for a while. Denny Hamlin, your race winner. Kyle Larson finishing second. Martin Truex third, coming home. Martin Truex Jr. coming home third. Kyle Busch, after starting on the pole and having a rough few races, finally comes home with a decent result. He ends up P4. Chase Elliott rounds out your top five. Noah Gregson, Ryan Blaney, Alex Bowman, Daniel Hemric, and Ty Gibbs are your top 10 from Dover. We had an actual crash as well. It feels like we don't have those anymore. Bubba Wallace, William Byron, Christopher Bell, all involved in a wreck that was caused by Zane Smith, who was stuck in the middle, got a little bit loose, got into Bubba, and the rest there was history. But man, we don't see that a lot. An actual crash with multiple cars. You don't see it anymore. You don't. And it stinks because William Byron was having a good race, and then trouble on pit road, car falls off the jack, and you go to the back. That's what happens when you're at the back of the pack. You get collected in other people's problems. One more segment on this beautiful Monday. We're going to continue to talk Dover throughout the weekend, but I got to let you know what happened in the rest of the sports world. So stay tuned. One more segment. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We're back after this.
More of sports director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's The Scoreboard with your host, sports director Joe Berg, on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
It is the final segment here on The Scoreboard. 844-STUDIO-4. Get you into the studio. 844-788-3464. One more time. 844-788-3464. I started out the show by telling you about Charlotte FC and how they continue to give up last-minute game-winning goals. This week, the 90th plus 3 minutes. Martinez with NYCFC putting in the game-winning goal. Now, this is not a game that, in my opinion, Charlotte FC should have won. They were outpossessed 57-42. Outshot 18-8. On goal, it was 7-5. NYC had more blocked shots. They had more passes. They were the better passing team. More corners. The only thing that Charlotte FC was better at was taking penalties, as Charlotte had 3 yellow cards on the day compared to 0 from NYCFC. This is not a game that Charlotte should have won, but if you want the promising side of this, it's not a game they should have won, yet they went into the final few minutes tied. Yes, they gave up the game winner in a time where they continue to give up game-winning goals, which is the 90th minute stoppage time. But it's not all bad. And I know I like to say it's all doom and gloom. They continue to lose. No, they were actually competitive. They had the lead. They were tied for a while. They were going to get a draw against the not defending champions, but one of the champions of the last few years, NYCFC. And they didn't get it. It happens. Now, they don't have the best team, and we've talked about that before. And I'm still waiting for the word on Karol Swiderski, who is on loan currently out in Italy. He's playing in Italy. But we don't know if he is going to stay there or if he's going to be back when that loan period is over. The deal is through June 30th, and the Italian Serie A program has an option to purchase his contract. So I'm hoping he comes back, because he was one of our better players last year. And he would add a little bit of help to a team that desperately could use some help. 3 wins, 5 losses so far on the year for Charlotte FC. 2 of those games that they've played ended up being draws. So they have 10 points on the year. I'm sorry, 11 points on the year. They're only 1 point behind the final team in the standings, which is Atlanta. But you still want to win. You don't want to leave it to the last few days of the season, which they did last year, and they were able to sneak their way in. It had to do with a great Leagues Cup where they got to the quarterfinals. Nobody saw that coming for Charlotte FC. If they can continue to play like that, they'll move up the standings. But it's yet to be seen. 3-1-1 at home, 0-4-1 on the road. It is time to get a road win. We've played an even split, 5 games at home, 5 games on the road. And it's pretty telling where the wins are coming from. They're coming from right here in Charlotte. So the next game for Charlotte FC will be coming up here soon. As I pull up the schedule one more time, they take on Portland coming up this weekend. It's going to be at Bank of America Stadium again. And Portland as a team this year, just so you know what the competition's going to be like, 2 wins, 4 losses, 4 ties. They have 10 points on the year. So Charlotte just a little bit better than them. In the first 10 games of the season. Not a whole lot better, but still better nonetheless. I expect a good showing. It's at home. Maybe we get back on the winning ways and improve that record. One team that needs to get back to their winning ways, the Carolina Hurricanes. Game number 4 was on Saturday in New York on Long Island. The Islanders pulling off the double overtime game winner. 3-2, the final score in that game, with Matthew Barzal getting the game-winning goal just a minute or so into the second overtime. Now, this is a game that Carolina probably should have won. Let's be honest, they outplayed the Islanders again. But it's hockey. This is bound to happen every now and then. So tomorrow, the series turns back to Raleigh. The Hurricanes will be at home. If they win, they move on. And their opponent is already waiting for them. As last night, the number one team in the NHL, the New York Rangers, were able to complete the sweep of the Washington Capitals as they win 4-2. That gave them the 4-game win. I go back and forth a lot on the playoffs and rest versus momentum. The New York Rangers had a week and a day off from the end of the regular season to game one of the playoffs. They then played 4 games, won all 4 of them, and now they have to wait to see who they're going to play in round 2. Whereas Carolina, they did not have that big of a wait. I believe it was only a 6-day waiting period from the final game of the season to game 1 of the playoffs. Maybe even less. Maybe it was only 5 days rest. They're not going to play only 4 games. They have another one coming up on Saturday. And if they lose, which I kind of hope they don't, they're going to have another game. And then the second round will begin sooner. There'll be less days off. Do you want the rest? Do you want the ability to rest and recuperate and be ready for the series that's coming up next? Or do you want to be in those 6-game, 7-game series where you continue to play after your final game, you have 2 days off, and then it's back to it with another series of games every day, every other day, and sometimes every 2 days? I struggle. I go back and forth. I don't know what you want. We might have a chance to see 2 rested teams go up against each other in the second round. If Carolina is able to get the win tomorrow, the amount of rest in between games for the Rangers and the Hurricanes will be so similar that it won't matter. But let's say Carolina loses 2 in a row. Let's say it does go to a game 7. It's a possibility. Don't discount the credit of puck luck and hockey just doing hockey things, because it happens all the time where a team will randomly win and you're like, why did they win? They got dominated that game. You ever watch a hockey game and, man, let's use the Hurricanes and the Islanders as an example. The Hurricanes are in the offensive zone, shot after shot after shot, and they are just absolutely putting it on the other team, unable to break through with a goal. one break the other direction and the puck is in the back of the net. It happens more than you think. So you can't discount the credit of the possibility that this series goes deep. But if you're Carolina, you don't want that. You want to end things as soon as possible, and they have a chance to do that tomorrow. Game time, 7:30. They are the favored team, by the way, just in case you were wondering. They are minus 258. The Islanders plus 210 in that game. A couple of NHL playoff games coming up tonight, a couple of NBA playoff games coming up tonight as well. So you know what's going on. The Lightning will take on the Panthers at 7 o'clock. The Dallas Stars take on the Vegas Golden Knights at 9:30. And in the NBA, Boston, Miami at 7:30. Oklahoma City, New Orleans Pelicans at 8:30. And at 10 o'clock, the Lakers take on the Denver Nuggets. Hey, the Lakers were able to get a win over the weekend against the Nuggets. I know. You didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen either, to be honest with you. But it did. And that's that. All right, let's see. This day in sports history. On this day, 1986, Auburn running back Bo Jackson was the number one pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And speaking of the NFL draft, that was one of the other things that went on this weekend. I'm purposely saving that for tomorrow. That way we have more time to talk about it because I need to dedicate a little bit of time to the Panthers, how they did in the draft. I like what they did. They were more active than I thought they would be, which is nice. So we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. Just a little bit of this day in sports history for you. Auburn running back Bo Jackson, the first pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, he didn't play with Tampa that long. He went to the Raiders, and the rest is history. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. You've been listening to The Scoreboard here on WSIC. I'll be back tomorrow, as always, same time, same place, letting you know what's going on tomorrow. We have previews for the playoffs. We'll talk to you then. Have a good night, everyone. Peace.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.